I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
That's right. They'll never take us under because we bring the truth like thunder. Jesse Romero.
Amen, brother.
Holy hour of powerful reporting for duty. Sir, Terry, what about
Jesse,
you?
Jesse, I'm reporting to a duty, sir, also. And Jesse, this is going to be a very interesting show for our listeners because we're going to be talking about the science and the effect of masks going on in all over the country where people are being told to wear masks. I even have my engineer story here at the Virgin Most Powerful. He gets dizzy when he wears these masks because oxygen levels go down and he has to rest after that. And you know what? Many of us are in that situation. Also, we're going to talk about where does culture come from, which is a very important topic. Also, the houses of worship right now in California. Are you ready, Jess? You know this. They're telling us we can't sing in church. Guess what, Jess? I sang very loud in church on Sunday. Because, you know what? I have a right as a U.S. citizen. The government doesn't tell me how to worship my God, okay? That's not the case. That's what we fought a war over. Jesse, also, we're going to be talking about a beautiful thing, five reasons why people should wear the miraculous medal, which I have. And I have a beautiful testimony to tell about that also. And, Jess, they're going to have a surprise information. Which state in the union right now has a $54.3 billion deficit? Is it Rhode Island or maybe on the West Coast? Just a hint, we're going to talk about what they're doing with that deficit. I call that collateral damage from COVID-19. But, Jess, we always start out with the top, which is, hey, the gospel.
Terry, you know what? Today's the feast day of St. Maria Goretti.
You got it, partner.
St. Maria Goretti, pray for us. And, you know, I want to just share a letter that was written by St. Maria Goretti's killer, who later became a Franciscan brother.
That's right.
And this letter was read. They discovered this letter after he died because it was in a sealed envelope, and now it's public information in the Vatican. Let me just read this letter. It's amazing. Okay, remember, Alessandro Serinelli killed Maria Goretti, who was trying to rape her.
He was 18 years old. Go ahead.
And he stabbed her several times with a kitchen knife because she resisted.
Yep.
Now, she appeared to him in his jail cell.
I love it.
And he had a metanoia, a conversion, a profound interior conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ, not to Antifa or Black Lives Matter, to Marxism, to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And here's what he writes in his letter that they discovered after he was dead. It was in a sealed envelope. It says this, quote, "I am almost 80 years old and near the end of my life. Looking back on the past, I recognize in my early youth, I went down a false path, the way of evil, which led me to ruin." Terry, that reminds me of what, you know, these young people that are rioting.
Yep.
He said, Alessandro says, "I saw the world through the news, entertainment, and bad examples that most young people follow without giving them a thought. I didn't think about it either. There were people of religious faith and practice near me, but I didn't pay any heed, blinded by a brute force that impelled me down a bad road. At the age of 20, I committed a crime of passion, the mere memory of which horrifies me today. Maria Goretti, now a saint, was the good angel that Providence placed ahead of my steps to save my soul. I still bear, engraved upon my heart, her words of reproach and forgiveness. She prayed for me.
Wow.
She interceded for me, her murderer. 30 years of prison followed. Had I not been underage, I would have been condemned for life. I accepted the sentence I had earned with resignation. I understood that I was guilty. Little Marie was truly my light, my protector. With her help, I behaved well during those 27 years in prison, and I sought to live honestly amongst inmates when society accepted me again among its members. The Sons of St. Francis, the Capuchin Minor of Marche, welcomed me welcome me among them with seraphic charity, not as a servant, but as a brother. I have been living with them for 24 years, and now, with serenity, I await the moment of being admitted to the vision of God, of embracing my loved ones again, of being near my protecting angel and my dear mother, Assunta. May those who read this letter of mine learn the happy lesson of fleeing from evil and always following what is good, right from their childhood. Think of religion with its precepts not as something you can do without. Rather, it is true consolation, the only safe path in all circumstances, even the most sorrowful ones in our lives. Peace and goodness to you. Close quote. This is the spiritual testament and letter of Alessandro Serenelli, who killed St. Maria Goretti. This was found in a sealed envelope when he died. Spent 27 years of prison, had a profound conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ because she appeared to him in his prison cell. And he lived the next couple of decades as a holy monastic Franciscan, offering prayer, penance, and sacrifice.
Great story, Jesse. Thanks for sharing that. Now I'd like to ask you, Jess, to share the gospel of today's Mass.
Holy gospel of today's Mass, very brief. Mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 to 26. Yep. Matthew 9, 18 to 26. While Jesus was speaking, an official came, knelt down before him. Ah, notice, kneeling down before Jesus. Anybody, here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to just
say it, man, because I'm going to say
anybody that tells you you can't kneel before Jesus Christ, Eucharistic presence, that doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. That comes from the diabolical.
Amen.
That's a diabolical message when somebody says, you can't kneel down before the Eucharist.
Not what the Bible says.
Goes on. Knelt down before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come lay your hand on her and she will live. Notice, the laying on of hand, that's a symbol of authority. Christ is a high priest, so all authority flows from him that he received from the Father, and it flows through the mystical body of Christ. It says, Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. A woman suffering hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the tassel on his cloak. She said to herself, if only I can touch the cloak, I shall be cured. Jesus turned around and saw her and said, courage, daughter, your faith has saved you. And from that hour, the woman was cured. So here's something very important. Okay, it doesn't say your faith alone saved you, as Luther's heresy taught. It said your faith has saved you. Well, what type of faith does she had? She had obedient faith. What do I mean by that? She actually did something. In faith, she stepped out on her knees and touched the cloak of Jesus. So there was an action attached to her faith. It wasn't this, as Luther taught in Calvin, this passive faith where you do nothing. The Bible goes on to say, when Jesus arrived at the official's house and saw the flute players in the crowd who were making a commotion, he said, go away, the girl's not dead, but asleep. And they ridiculed him. When the crowd was put out, he came and took her by the hand, and the little girl arose, obviously arose from the dead. And news of this spread throughout all that land, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
One of the things about Jesus, whether you know it or not, we're all going to need him. Why? Because you may never call a tow truck driver in this life. Maybe you may never need a lawyer, a real estate lawyer, divorce lawyer. You may never use, I don't know, you may never use an investor in your life, somebody, a financial investor. There's a lot of things that you're not going to use in life. But one thing that we're all going to use, you're all going to die, 100% of us. And what does that mean? We're all going to need a Savior. And there's only one person that fits the job description. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your hearts. Give your life to Jesus.
Amen.
Right now. Wake up. As our Lord says, you fool, your life will be asked of you. Open your heart now to Jesus Christ. Repent and believe in the gospel. Terry.
Jesse, well said. I always say actions speak louder than words, okay? And maybe we need to get back to some fundamental actions. And I'm not maybe. We need to be kneeling when we receive Holy Communion. Are you kidding me? If it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, it's a no-brainer. So I think that that's something that needs to come back, and it comes back here at our chapel. But Jesse, I want to also bring in the smartest guy in the room, Fulton Sheen, full Sheen ahead. Jess, his quote today fits our program again. He says, if you do not live what you believe, you will end up believing what you live. And basically, that's what's going on in our church today and in our culture today. If we don't believe in God, we believe in anything else. We believe in me, myself, and I. Selfishness, that's what's happening today. So what is Sheen saying? If you do not live what you believe, we don't practice our faith, we're going to end up believing what you live. So this is why actions speak louder than words.
Terry, very brief message I want to get here. There's an article that says science effect of the mask is mental confusion.
Help the helpless. Hang on. Go ahead, Jesse.
It says the coronavirus overwhelmingly kills elderly people. It appears that the coronavirus mask might have a better chance of killing a non-elderly person than COVID-19. COVID-19 N95 masks are estimated to reduce oxygen intake by anywhere from 5 to 20%. That's significant even for a healthy person. It can cause dizziness and lightheadedness. If you wear a mask long enough, it can damage the lungs. For a patient in respiratory distress, it can even be life-threatening. This is a Stanford study. This, this is not like some Catholic conservative study. This is a liberal Catholic state college that's known for its high academic achievements. And it all, here's another from the actual company that makes these masks.
Yep.
The actual company says this, quote, because there are no warning signs of reduced oxygen concentrations, these environments are extremely dangerous. Effective exposure of low oxygen concentrations can include giddiness, mental confusion, loss of judgment, loss of coordination, weakness, nausea, fainting, loss of consciousness, and death. This is actually from the company that produces the mask, Terry.
Wow, Jess, I couldn't believe you said it that quick. We'll be right back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com. Code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
So what is the cancel culture? What is the cancel culture mean? This is a popular term used by millennials. Cancel culture refers to the popular practice of withdrawing support or for canceling public figures and companies after they've done something or said something objectionable, offensive, or something that's politically incorrect. And so the cancel culture is something that the millennials use social media. They form this group sharing, and when they disagree with somebody, they go after them, try to take out their benefactors or the people that donate, and they just try to basically take them off of social media. Terry?
Yeah, Jess, let me just back up for a minute. The last segment, I don't want to miss this opportunity. When you were talking about the science and the effect of masks, and you mentioned some great things in this article, and I want everybody to read the article, but even our engineer, Richard, who's here, he puts a mask on to go to the store, and his heart starts beating fast, and he has to take about an hour to 2 hours to recover wearing a mask for 10 minutes because the oxygen levels go down. I'm in the same boat. I have asthma. I have problems like that. Jess, how many people have had heart attacks because they've been wearing masks? I call this we call it collateral damage of the COVID-19. These masks really have also a bad effect on the culture. Hey, one more thing I just want to remind people, then we'll get right back to Jess's comment about the culture. Over the weekend, folks, we had a benefactor donate about 160 gallons of paint to paint the church, our studio, and our offices. So I'm really grateful for that. Can you imagine? That's like $3,000 worth of paint sent to us for free. Now, they don't want me to say thank you because they're very humble people. They just want to get the paint for us and don't just say a prayer for them. So say a prayer. God knows who it is. Yeah. But I also want to ask, I've got the contractor coming to do the painting. It's going to cost thousands of dollars to paint everything. You can imagine sanding and prepping. If you have a few extra dollars and you want to send it our way, give us a call at 877-526-2151 or go online to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Say, I want to help with the painting of the church. That's the one behind me. That's the inside of our church. So I just wanted to bring that up because when we have needs, if we don't tell our folks
about
them.
Worthy cause.
Yeah. I mean, let's paint a beautiful church. Okay, Jess, let's get my...
Well, that's headquarters for us.
That's headquarters, but here's the thing. Let me just be brutal about this. 7 days a week, I'm here at this church. I got people come and tell me, can you meet with my grandson? He needs help on X, Y, and Z. Can you talk to this? We have people coming, visiting the church, making adoration, holy hours. We have people coming and protecting the church from any scoundrels. I'm going to bring it right up now, Jesse. On Tuesday last week, some dude came over and took pictures of our church and was profiling our church. Well, we gave him some comments and said, hey, delete those pictures, and you tell those people who you work for that if they come to our church to damage it, it's going to be very painful for you because we will defend the church. And you know, Jesse and I told him we're not pacifists, that if you try to knock down our statues, we're going to be here to stop you. We will use proportionate measures to stop you. So that guy ran. Jesse, he didn't run to his car. He ran away down the street with his camera. Now, that's the church that we're here. That's what we want to have painted. And believe me, we're not going to take it, Jess. We're not going to take it sitting down. We are going to protect Holy Mother, the church, especially our statues, our stained glass windows. No. So here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, if you want to participate in preserving the chapel, call me on my cell phone even, 661-972-7872. Jess, I had to bring that up. I wasn't going to, but I just came and I felt like
I'm glad you did, Terry.
Well, Jess, it happened on Tuesday, and we're just not going to take it. Go ahead.
Yep. That's and you're going to have hundreds of solid Catholic men surrounding that church. I can tell you because you got some you got some guys with some real backbone.
Well, they're patrolling every night, Jesse. They do holy hours, and you know what? Our guys do not have rubber band. They don't have rubber band guns in their pocket. Okay, they're in there protecting the church and praying for Holy Mother, the church, before the Blessed Sacrament. That's a warning for anybody trying to mess with us. Go ahead.
That's right. Well, let's go on to the cancel culture.
Yeah.
The article says, yes, I think the statues of the white European they claim is Jesus should also come down. They're quoting their self-appointed leader, a guy named Sean King, who's a Harvard student. He's also, I found out, a Protestant minister.
Yeah.
So he's probably like a Jack Chick.
Exactly. Anti-Catholic.
Anti-Catholic.
You got it.
Yeah. So this is all from Sean King. They're quoting him. He says, Yes, I think the statues of the white European they claim as Jesus should also come down. They're a form of white supremacy, always have been. All murals and stained glass windows of white Jesus. Notice, this is an anti-Catholic attack. This is like the, Terry, this is like the Jacobins in the French Revolution, exactly. He says, all murals and stained glass windows of white Jesus and his European mother and their white friends should also come down.
Yep.
They are a gross form of white supremacy created as tools of oppression, racist propaganda. They should all come down. This is from Sean King, the self-appointed leader of Black Lives Matter. And the article says, this is historically ignorant. The church rightly has encouraged local cultures to depict Jesus and Mary in culturally relatable ways, including portraying them as black, Asian, Hispanic, and yes, even white. One might think such radical anti-Christian rhetoric would be found in the recesses of the intellectual dark web, or perhaps in a lecture by a virulently atheist Marxist academic at a secular university. Well, there's some truth to the latter. The author is Sean King, who, in addition to being a civil rights activist, co-founder of a criminal justice reform PAC and Black Lives Matter supporter and spokesman, is also currently a writer in residence at Harvard Law School's Fair Punishment Project. He also has over 1 million followers on Twitter. Now, the article says, mobs in California in the last several days have torn down statues of St. Junipero Serra, a Spanish priest and friar of the Franciscan order who founded 9 Spanish missions across the state in the 18th century. He was canonized in 2015. Statues of Christopher Columbus are also being toppled across the country. And again, the largest Catholic fraternal organization in the U.S., which has donated millions of dollars and millions of hours of community service, claims Columbus, a devout Catholic, as their namesake. And the cancel culture is coming after the Catholic Church, and it's coming quickly. Sean King says this, quote, over the last several years, as demands have increased for the removal of statues and the renaming of buildings, monuments, schools, and federally managed sites, I have tried my best to listen and to consider the arguments. Some calls, I thought, seemed like no-brainers. Why, indeed, should there be anything honoring Nathan Bedford Forrest, a prominent early leader of the KKK, and a historically verified war criminal who mercilessly murdered black soldiers? Though Fort Bragg has a storied history, why indeed should the base, which trained some of the very best of the American military, be named after a Confederate general who was widely considered a terrible battlefield commander and who was hated by his own men? And here's another author, Casey Chalk, says, the argument against racism, which in addition is being an ad hominem, is also historically unfair when used in a way that condemns past generations while absolving our own generation. By our contemporary standards, most political leaders in our nation history would be called racist for one reason or another. So this argument used by Sean King evinces what C.S. Lewis labeled chronological snobbery, whereby our current culture judges all previous generations according to our historically and culturally conditioned sense of political correct morality, pretending that we somehow have a miraculous monopoly on the truth. As commentator David Marcus recently noted, future generations may condemn us for the luxuries we enjoy off the backs of foreign workers in slave-like conditions, or if the pro-life movement succeeds, we may view Americans' spineless references to abortions as someone else's choice, as horrific as well they should be. Terry?
Well, this whole article is well written. You know, I have to say this. The folks that are, they don't think, they react, okay? They don't think, they don't want the facts.
Yeah. But Terry, liberals are guided by their passions.
Of course, of course.
Not their intellect.
And Jesse, isn't it interesting that they're not going to knock down any statues, like over at a mosque or
And by the way, Muhammad owned black slaves.
Yeah, but why do you think, Jesse? I'm going to be honest with you right now. I know why. Why don't they go after the Muslims?
They'll push back.
Exactly. They look at us Christians as easy targets, soft targets. They're not going to push back. But see, if you look back, Jesse, in history, there were times, even in Philadelphia, we're going to be talking about in another article, where the Knights of Columbus men had to defend their churches. And you know what? That's coming back again. And I just want to ask our leadership in our church to not hide under the bed and really stand up and say, you know what? I'm not here to do any violence. I'm here to defend what is right. And please don't cross the line so that that I might have to use proportionate measures to stop you. I don't want to stop you, but if you come after my wife, for example, or my family,
or my church,
guess what? I have a moral obligation not to run under the bed, but to stand up and defend her. That's what we need today, Jess Romero.
Yeah, Terry, this guy, Sean King, he's an anti-Catholic pastor. Apparently, he's got a Protestant denomination over in Atlanta. And I think what he's doing is he's going after the Catholic Church next.
Yes.
He's going after Catholicism. He wants to extricate Catholicism from the public square.
Right.
And this reminds me, Terry, of in 1844.
Yes.
The Protestant nativist rioters in Philadelphia.
That's the one I was talking
Catholic
about.
Churches.
Yep.
They attacked Catholics and their churches.
Yep.
And there was a bishop by the name of, Bishop Dagger.
Yep.
He showed leadership, and he basically rallied all the Catholic men.
Which he should.
And they organized these fraternal organizations to defend the churches
yep.
with force of arms. And now, 175 years later, the same thing is happening. Well, we got men now called the Knights of Columbus Catholics men's groups.
Yep.
And we have to also rally our men so that these mobs don't vandalize or destroy our parishes. Because, Terry, this guy, Sean King, is dangerous. What he says is dangerous. He's promoting racism, and he says that basically he's calling Catholicism a white supremacy group. That's what he's doing, and I want to just this Russian Orthodox priest, I want to give him kudos.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
He denied, this Russian Orthodox priest denied communion to any member of Black Lives Matter in his parish. And also I want to give kudos to Muhammad Ali's son. Muhammad Ali's son, he was asked about Black Lives Matter. Muhammad Ali was probably one of the most famous boxers and black athletes in American history. He goes, my dad would have not supported Black Lives Matter. My dad would have supported Donald Trump.
And Jesse, one more person to congratulate, the priest in Carmel, Indiana, who in a homily stated that Black Lives Matter is a terrorist group. And he got penalized for it, but he took it on the chin.
Got penalized by his bishop.
Exactly. But you know what? I give the priest credit because he spoke with truth about something in our country. When we come back, we'll have much more on the Terry and Jesse Show that'll help you fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code, VMPR, to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com. Code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
This makes me laugh. I remember years ago, there was a book that came out, Can Catholics Sing? Yep. Or Catholics Can't Sing, something
right.
like that.
Right.
This is funny, Terry, because I've been the first to complain. The last 40, 50 years, a lot of the OCP, all are welcome, Dan Shute, Bob Hurd, Marty Hagen music is horrible.
That's true.
We've been forced to listen to this music for 40 years. Well, guess what? Now Governor Newsom, he's discontinuing, at least over the weekend, he ordered Catholics not to sing because he said the pandemic could get worse. So Governor Comrade Newsom outlines coronavirus guidelines also for the 4th of July weekend that just passed. He said at a weekend press conference that the state will be closing state beaches and parking facilities in Southern California and in the Bay Area. Again, the virus can't live out in the heat, but, for the facts be, who cares about the facts, right? But the article says Californians are still free to attend their house of worship, but they're not supposed to sing or chant.
Yeah.
Citing the risk of spreading the coronavirus, updated COVID-19 guidelines issued Wednesday by the State Department of Public Health says places of public worship must therefore discontinue singing and chanting activities. I wonder if that applied to the Muslims as well, Terry.
Oh, of course not. And Jesse, what's so crazy about this is, for example, the Melkites at our chapel, they're from Syria. They chant their mass. Okay, basically what he was saying is they can't do it. The priest can't sing the mass. No, lay people. This is again an attack on our religious freedom. And Jess, I'd like to quote the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 1915, 2239, and 2242. It says this: as far as possible, citizens should take an active part in public life. It is the duty of the citizens to contribute along with the civil authorities to the good of society in the spirit of what? Truth. Yes, truth, justice, solidarity, and freedom. The love and service of one's country follow from the duty of gratitude. It belongs to the order of charity. And here's what he says in the Catechism. The citizen is obliged in conscience not to follow the directives of a civil authority when they are contrary to the demands of a moral order. And I think this, Jesse, this is how I interpret that. We have a moral order to worship God. The state is not to tell us how to worship God. And so when they tell us when we can go to church and how we can go to church, I think this catechism paragraph is saying that's not their expertise. It's not their position. So what the catechism is saying, Jess, is that we citizens are under the oppression of a public authority which oversteps its competence. They should not refuse to give in or to do what the objective demand is for the common good. But it is legitimate for them to defend their rights and those of their fellow citizens against the abuse of this authority within the limits of natural law and the law of the gospel. Jesse, that's what we're doing right now. Governor Newsom has no right to tell us how to worship God.
Terry, here's what I think. I think that there's a hatred of the Catholic Church.
It's obvious.
Amongst a lot of these politicians.
Of course.
Okay? They're not going to say it, obviously. But there is a hatred of the Catholic Church. It's been around for 2,000 years. It's the one true church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But hatred of the Catholic Church also, whether they know it or not, It's actually hatred of God the Father. Why do I say that? There's one of the great church fathers, St. Cyprian of Carthage, he said this in the 4th century. He says, you cannot have the church as your mother.
That's right.
If you don't have God as your father.
Amen.
So they're connected. They're connected. If you don't embrace Mater Ecclesia, Mother Church, and allow her to feed you and nourish you, by default, you also reject God the Father. Because there's a male and female role. God the Father protects us and Mother Church nourishes us.
Yep.
And so, Terry, these people that hate the Catholic Church, and I would say a lot of these politicians, especially on one side of the aisle, hate the Catholic Church with intensity. Their hatred of the Catholic Church is a hatred of God the Father, and their hatred of God the Father is hatred of patriarchy.
Yeah.
And what does patriarchy, what does it give us? Moral order.
Yeah.
Without patriarchy, you have disorder, which is another word for anarchy. Go ahead, Terry.
I just want to mention one more thought, Jess. In this document, it says that the people at Mass cannot respond to the prayers at Mass. Now, if that's not silencing us, that's just ridiculous. But you know what's an interesting thought about the guys on the left, Jesse? And I'm just saying, my governor in California, here comes everybody.
He's a man of the left.
He's a man of the left. And right now, the state of California has a $54.3 billion deficit because we've closed down the restaurants, the hotels, all of these businesses, and under the disguise of him being concerned about our health, when this is the same governor who can't tell a baby in the mother's womb's a baby. See, he's wrong on both issues. And Jess, I want to remind everybody, a little quick note. You were talking earlier about the statue removals. I forgot to mention that in Ventura, right in our backyard here, many of our listeners were there protecting the statue on Saturday with a mob of about 400 people. We had about 80 Catholics, and they defended that statue. Well, at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, the City Council of Ventura, seven people, all seven on the left, I just want to add, are going to vote on removing the statue. And so I want to encourage all of our listeners to go to their website, the City of Ventura, California, and voice your opinion on that. But again, Jesse, all seven of those, California, most of us, I'm kind of an oddball, Jess. You know, they're all on the left, and they're bankrupting the country or the state of California. And morally, it's a cesspool. And so I think it's time to just call them out and say, why don't you just turn your badge in, man? Yeah, turn it in. Let's get a new set of guys in there and girls that can run this state with a moral conscience rather than decadence and also decadence of financial decadence. When you can say $54.3 billion in deficit, that's like what? Yes, that's California for you.
Terry, it makes me, I just have to slap my foot.
Well, you left.
And how can anybody call themselves a man of the left? I'll tell you why, because that's actually a biblical term.
That's
Most Democrats don't realize what that's they right. say when they say I'm on the left.
Yep.
They don't know, because our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 25, 31 to 46, he actually says, and this is where they get the left and right, these
right.
terms.
It comes it's from right the Bible. Biblical, yeah.
Yeah, it's Old New Testament theology.
Yep.
Our Lord says those on the left are going to go to hell. They're going to be damned. Those on the right will be saved. Those are the elect. So that whole demarcation of I'm from the right and I'm from the left, that doesn't come from politics. Politics borrowed that from the Bible. That's biblical language.
Yep.
And if any Democrat would just read scripture in the Old and New Testament and say, what? Those on the left are going to hell? I'm going to quit saying I'm on the left. What I'm saying is that I'm tracking towards hell. Just throwing that out there for anybody who cares about the Bible, says like Terry and me, I mean, we stand under the authority of the Word of God.
And Jesse, let me jump in and just confirm that. But I'll give you an example. Mr. Biden, he's running for the Democratic Party's ticket for the presidency. He came out and verbally said this, that he supports Black Lives Matter. Okay? Now, that makes sense if you're in his position because he wants their vote. And folks, I just want you to know, I've talked enough about abortion that Biden is for killing unborn babies, but not just abortion. Look at the other platforms of that party. And it's just so much of it is against our Catholic faith. And now, I'm not going to say the Republican side is a saintly side.
They're not saints.
No, but you know what? When you have to choose, there's no perfect candidate. There's no perfect party, okay? Unless you're going to go with the Lamb, Jesus, but he's not in this election. So here's my point. Make your moral choice when you've pulled that lever for voting in November. Ask yourself, who represents my moral conscience that I've been formed by the Catholic faith? And I think you'll know which way to go. It's really a slam dunk, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yep. The article goes on to say, Terry, it says, Governor Newsom, in my previously allowing religious organizations to reopen in late May, the state merely said these institutions should strongly consider discontinuing singing, group recitation, and other practices and performances.
Mm-hmm.
He's come down. But he says, California's health department agrees. And as government Gavin Newsom begins tightening protocols during a resurgence of the pandemic, it now says singing and chanting are outright banned. It says activities such as singing and chanting negate the risk reduction achieved through 6 feet of physical distancing, the state said in its new guidelines. House of worship are now being told to have masks available for congregants who don't bring one. And Terry, what's going to end up happening, I also read another doctor over the weekend. I watched another YouTube from a doctor. He says that having the mask on for too long could have long-term effects on your lungs. If you're older
exactly,
and not being able to breathe, your intake of oxygen dropping from 20% could actually damage your lungs permanently. If you wear the mask too long, it causes permanent damage. And so I think, Terry, you're going to see more people end up getting sick and dying as a result of putting forcing these masks to be put on, especially older people. Terry, I'm pushing 60. Mask, it doesn't feel good.
No.
And I'm glad I don't wear it. We don't have to wear it many places out here. I'm okay.
Well, Jesse, we've already had deaths from the mask, okay? We've had heart attacks. We've had people die from asphyxiation where they didn't get enough oxygen. We've had guys actually running track, they're running and they have a mask on and they collapse because of lack of oxygen. You know, Jesse, the people in California especially, they were wrong about unborn babies, okay? They're wrong about prostitution. They're wrong about all kinds of moral issues. And they're still wrong when it comes to telling us Christians how to worship God. And Jesse, there's going to come a time, I'm going to predict it's coming, when we're going to ask ourselves, are we going to bow down to Caesar, the government, or to Jesus Christ? That's what it's coming down to. What side of the fence you want to be on?
St. Peter says, I'd rather obey God than men.
That's it.
And the Catholics, we don't remember the Catholic Church is a supernatural entity.
You got it.
The government is a natural entity. The natural can't tell the supernatural what to do.
The government will be gone. The church continues. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Oh, Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us.
That's the prayer that I, every time I put on my miraculous medal, when I put it on, I say that prayer. You know, the miraculous medal is a special design. It's based on the mystical visions of St. Catherine Laboure in the 19th century. And it's a popular devotional item, and it's associated with miracles and conversions. And I'll tell you, here's a couple reasons why we should wear them. Number one, it reminds us that Mary's our mother. Okay? And all of us, as Fulton Sheen says, Mary is the maternal principle in Christianity. About 200 years ago, our Blessed Mother instructed St. Catherine Laboure to have a medal struck and upon this model, and those who wear it receive what's called signal graces.
Yep.
That means you receive like actual graces in a moment of temptation. You need help, you need assistance, and you need illumination. It gives you signal graces, especially if you wear it around your neck. Our Blessed Mother also told St. Catherine Laboure that, quote, now it must be given to the whole world and to every person. And for almost 2,000 years, this message has been available to us as Catholics. Yet until this past Christmas, the author says, I still did not wear one around my neck. And now she's saying she basically red-pilled and saw the power of the miraculous medal. And she says now she's wearing it. Terry?
Yeah, see, I love it because I got my miraculous medal on. Just to tell you folks, when I got married, my wife and I went and got very nice miraculous medals, okay, to give to each other. As a way of our consecration to Our Lady, we both were consecrated. And Jesse, this medal first came into being, as you said, it was the Medal of the Immaculate Conception. In less than 10 years, it became the Miraculous Medal because of the many graces and wonders that quickly became associated with wearing it. According to one source, between 1930 and 1950, more than 750,000 favors were granted and registered in just the city of Philadelphia alone. Let me just share one quick story with you about the power of the miraculous medal. A friend of mine, Father Wagner from the Opus Angelorum, tells this story, and I'll be brief, and then there's some more here for the medal. But here's what happened. After World War II, there was a gentleman walking down a country road, and he hears some women screaming, help, help, help. And there's some little boy in a lake. He's drowning, and the women can't swim. So this guy jumps into the water and saves the little five-year-old boy from drowning. And so the mom is very excited about that. The little boy had a miraculous medal around his neck. So the mom says to the man, can I give you some money? You saved my son's life. Thank you. No, I don't need any money. Well, after World War II, you need a lot. But he said, well, can I at least feed you? Yeah. She gets a big meal for this guy. He loves it. He eats it. He's on his way out. And the mom says, wait a minute, can I give this miraculous medal to you as a way of you, you know, commemorating you saving my son's life? Sure, give it to me, lady. So the guy goes to Brazil, which a lot of Germans did after the war, and spends 30 years of his life on the streets in Brazil. He's dying in a Catholic hospital. The nuns see that he's wearing a miraculous medal, and they said, hey, you need to make your peace with God. The doc said your heart's going out. I can bring a priest over here to hear your confession. He says, no, I don't need that. Get out of here, sisters. The nuns go back to the convent. Mother Superior is brought in. Sister said, man, we got a tough case. What can we do? Mother Superior says, well, you know, Our Lady said, pray for souls because that's how souls are saved, because no one's willing to pray and make sacrifices. So the nuns make some sacrifices. They go back to the hospital and they, and Mother Superior tells them, ask for the German priest who just arrived from Germany. He speaks the guy's language. Have him see if he can go visit this dying man. So the newly ordained priest gets a message from the sisters. He goes in, talks to the guy, finds out this guy's from south part of Germany where he's from. And then the priest says, hey, I noticed you got that miraculous medal around your neck. Who gave it to you, your mother? He says, no, Father. Long time ago, I saved a little boy's life. He was drowning in a pond, and the mother gave it to me right before I went to Brazil. That's why I have the medal on. And the priest says, you got to be kidding me. You did that? He said, yeah. The priest says, that was me when I was 5 years old. You saved my life. And the guy says, Father, that was you? And he hugs the priest and says, I'm so glad it was you. And the priest says, yeah, me too. And then the man says, Father, will you hear my confession? He says, absolutely. He hears the man's confession, and the very next day, he's called home. Now, that's the power of the miraculous medal.
Terry, there's so many stories like that.
Yes.
They're just, they're
all over.
We can multiply. I mean, there's a contemporary one. You know, he's a friend of ours, a guy named Zachary King. He was the former Satanist. And his conversion to the Catholic Church, it basically was instigated. He said when a holy woman came outside of the parish and said, hey, Our Lady told me to give you something. He's just walking down the street, going to work and stuff. He's a committed Satanist. And she puts a miraculous medal in his hand. And he said he got vertigo, literally got vertigo. And that was his basic, that was the beginning of his conversions to the Catholic faith. But the article says here,
yes,
heroic men and women have worn it and encouraged others to wear it.
That's right.
Two particular people that come to mind, St. Maximilian Kolbe and Blessed and St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, says before St. Maximilian Kolbe courageously gave his life for another man, he started a movement and an organization known in English as the Knights of the Immaculata.
I'm a member of it.
He made the miraculous medal the insignia of the group and had each member wear the medal.
That's right.
He said it was a silver bullet against evil. And St. Mother Teresa, known for her charitable work throughout the world, she called the miraculous medal the medal of charity.
That's right.
And gave it out by the handfuls. She said that the medal is a sign that God loves each and every individual at each and every moment of our lives. The medal's also a reminder to ask for help. That's what we call signal grace.
That's right.
The images of the medal were designed by the Blessed Mother herself and spoken to St. Catherine Laboureille. Our Blessed Mother said that the rays coming from some of her fingers demonstrate the graces God gives through her to those who ask and are open.
Absolutely.
That's why you have to pray. That's the principle of Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given to you. And so on the medal, you'll notice that there are some fingers where there are no rays, where no rays are shown.
And that's,
Mary said it is to demonstrate that the graces are not given because they're not requested
exactly
of her. Again, the Matthew 7:7 principle. Terry, go ahead.
Jesse, we've got seven people on hold right now.
Oh, wow.
Let's get Richard first. Richard, you're out there in the Southern California. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Terry, how are you guys doing?
Good. Richard's a convert from Calvary Chapel, and he's an on-fire Catholic. He does a lot of volunteer work here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Rich, what were you doing? I want you to share about the power of prayer. Go ahead. Tell us what you're up to.
Okay, well, for out here in San Bernardino County, we have the Tea Party Patriots, which has been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We want less government, you know, more individual responsibility, and of course, a better future.
Mm-hmm.
So we, every once in a while, we do police rallies, support your local police.
Mm-hmm.
So the week before last, we did one pretty successful, except the fact is that for years now, I talked to the Catholic priest, I talked to all the pastors out here and other churches, and they don't seem to want to have any interest in supporting our police or even standing up for our Constitution or anything else. They end up, bottom line is, they say, well, we can't get involved because of our church exempt status. We don't, you know, want to have to, you know, lose our tax exempt status and everything.
Ah.
And we tell them the whole story. I tell them about what the communists are doing. I've told them just in the last few weeks. I'm talking a lot of them.
It's about 40 churches? Richard, how many churches did you go to ask for that kind of support for our men and women?
My friend and I, Dale, have hit probably 30 churches in the last, I'd say, 6 months.
And they're all not willing to stand. Oh, man, that's sad.
No, they will not stand up. And if you've been watching TV in the last few days, this communist conspiracy that people say don't exist, the Black Lives Matter, as in Portland the other day, the Black Lives Matter leaders said this is communist revolution.
Yep.
He said this. We are in the communist revolution. People say, oh, no, conspiracies don't exist. Well, let me tell you, when communism was started in 1917 and they met, the very first thing they said is we have to convince the world this conspiracy does not exist.
Exactly.
And they've done that. And it's here.
Yep.
They've taken over our schools, universities, Hollywood, you name it. And they have this control now. They call themselves the far left. They are Marxists, communists, no matter what name you give them. When you say Marxist, it's a communist.
Yeah.
And these Marxist Democrats that control our government, they're all involved in what's going on. This revolution kicked off full when the COVID-19 started.
At
the same time, you'll see it kicked off. And this was all planned. It's all one big plan. It's not sporadic. And we need the pastors to wake up in this country quick and start telling their people, hey, if you don't have time, send some money to your conservative candidates this election. Do phone work for them. Walk door to door for them. But do something. Don't just sit and not do anything. If the Christians do not come out and vote this time and get involved in the elections, get involved. Even if it's an hour a week, get involved. If they don't, we're not gonna keep Trump in there. These communists have been planning too many years, too long. They had the deep state is much deeper than you can ever imagine.
All right.
And
Richard, let me just jump in, brother, because we're out of time. You've made some points that we've tried to make for quite some time. And I know that you've studied a Freemasonry, and so you're speaking from a lot of book knowledge that you've read and you've seen. So I appreciate you telling all these warnings. Just, I mean, this is nothing new. What he just said, we've seen in action across the globe.
And their father is Satan.
Yeah.
Satan's the father of communism, Marxism.
That's right.
All these ideologies that promote the culture of death, it has the fingerprints of Satan all over it, Terry.
You got it. Jesse, hey, I want to remind people are texting me about helping us paint the church. If you'd like to help us financially, we got the paint for free. It's got to pay the laborer now. Call me at 661-972-7872. I'd be happy to take a tax-deductible donation. Jess Romero, what state should we be living in, brother?
Well, Terry, Not the deep state.
Nope.
And not the state of mortal sin.
Exactly.
But the state of grace.
You got it, partner.
And even if you live in a blue state, you can still live in the state of grace because that's interior. That's the inner man. And so wherever you're at, whatever 50 states you're at, live in a state of sanctifying grace. Terry.
Well said. And we have Dr. Ed Mazza up next on history, the bar of history on Virgin Most Powerful. Get our app. Like us on your social media so we can continue to proclaim Christ and his church. May God bless you and your family.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.